regardless of how small, how big, how important, how it may not matter to some, but to you, you feel trapped. Can anybody relate to that this morning?
Man.
Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just us. Do we not have anybody in here who has troubles, whether you want to admit it or not? There is something that is pushing your button day after day. There is something that the devil loves to remind you of day after day. He wants to back you in a corner. He wants you to think that all hope is lost. He wants you to think that there is nothing that comes out of your mouth that God listens to any longer. Do I get any witnesses today? Now, you're going to have to be interactive with me, because this is the first time that I've been back in the pulpit with you face to face. So I'm like bubbling over. I'm like a pressure cooker that has just waited and just releasing steam all over the place. So forgive my excitement. Trapped by your troubles. People are searching for something. Would you agree? Yes. People are searching for something that will be fulfilling. Something that will dissolve their pain. Something that will dissolve their stress. You can flip on the news and the first things to open: massage parlors, bowling alleys, tattoo parlors, whatever the case may be. Because they deem these things as essential. They deem these things as essential.
Yeah.
Now, before we go any further, I want to make it very plain. I have nothing against massage parlors. I have nothing against tattoo parlors. Because if you read in your Bible, God said he engraved you on the palm of his hand. And that's what a tattoo is it not? That's completely up to you. And that is your choice. But what I find funny is all these things are essential. Where does God fit into the mix of that? Where does the house of God fit into the mix? Why are we not saying, first and foremost, church is essential. God is essential.
Amen.
The word of God is essential.
Amen.
Where is the stability that we need? A massage is only going to help you for 30 minutes to an hour. It's temporary. You have others that may want to go to recovery programs. Self-help books are on the rise. Spas, gyms, all these different things. They're looking for something to fulfill a temporary need.
Yeah.
They're looking for something that will fill them. And some even go a little deeper and darker. And they turn to things as alcohol. They turn to things as drugs to erase the pain, to erase the stress, to relieve the stress. But only Jesus can satisfy your soul.
Amen.
And until you have Jesus, you won't ever be fulfilled. You won't ever be happy. You won't ever have, you will always be looking for that something that will fulfill you and sustain you.
Yes.
See, I'm talking specifically about stress this morning. I don't know of too many people who are not under some sort of stress. See, fear is a deadly thing, and that's a big weapon that Satan uses to attack us. But stress is just that ugly, distant relative of fear. It's that creepy, weird uncle or cousin that you have in your family that you try to avoid.
Yeah.
But to be nice, you entertain it. You have to speak to it. Now, I'm not going to ask, does anybody have that creepy uncle or cousin, or maybe it's an aunt sister, brother, whatever. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because you might offend somebody. You might offend that aunt or uncle or sister or brother, maybe in this room. But you get my point. Stress is a relative of fear, and it works the same way. And I find it funny that we tend to take on stress until it becomes a part of us. I'm not even going to try. Until it comes a part of us. Because if I get it on, I won't get it off. We assume that weight of stress. Stress can come in many different forms. It can come the stress of a job, the stress of providing for your family, the stress of health and good health, the stress of keeping a sound mind. Does anybody relate to that?
Amen.
Stress can come about being a good wife. Stress can come at being a good child, a good husband, a good pastor, a good church member. Stress can come at the cost of how am I going to make it through this day? Until we keep adding pressure, until it becomes a part of us. And we think this is who we are. This is what we do. We own this extra baggage that we can just hold on to. It's grafted into our bodies and our souls, and we can't live without it. Some of us may even think that stress is just part of life. But stress really indicates your reaction to trouble if you're a child of God. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 6. Luke, chapter 6, verse 47. We're going to read 47 through 49. See, this weight that we carry around called stress, it's been known to decline your health. It's been known to consume your thought process. It's been known to cause heart attacks.
Yeah.
It's been known to cause stress.
Yeah.
It's been known to cause strokes.
Yeah.
It's been known to cause high blood pressure.
Yeah.
It's been known to increase your pulse rate. It's been known to keep you awake at night. It's been known to tear families apart. It's been known to tear churches apart. It's been known to do all these many different things. And so I ask you, why are we allowing stress to invade our lives? Why are we allowing stress to consume our thought process? Because see, just as someone who hikes, climbs up a mountain, who may have his gear on his back, he's climbing. He's pushing his strength and his muscles to the max. But all of his gear, everything that he needs is in this book bag. It's on his back. Until he gets to the top and he's worn out. And it's when he lays this down, I feel so much lighter. I never knew that I could feel so much freedom from that. I carried that around on my back all the way up, climbing to the very top. And now I've released that. Why didn't I do that?
Amen.
Why didn't you release the stress?
Yeah.
We're going to read. Jesus is telling the disciples in verse 47, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them.
Yeah.
See, you can't just be a hearer. You got to be a doer too. And that goes all back to the believing. If you hear it and you believe it, guess what? You should be doing it. He said, I will show you to whom he is like. In verse 48, it says, he is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, when? Just because you are saved, you're sealed, doesn't mean the floods are not going to come. In fact, Jesus confirmed they will come. The floods and the storms, trouble will come to you regardless of if you are saved or not. Trouble's going to come to you. But if you built a house and dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock, when the flood rose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it. Who am I talking to this morning? Could not shake it. What is your foundation based on? Is it based on the rock, the one that is the Lord Jesus Christ? Because if it is, when the floods rise, when the storms come, guess what? It should not be able to shake you. For it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not. See, you can attend church service every Sunday. You can be the most faithful Christian. But if you don't hear it, you don't believe it, and you don't do it. It says, it's like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. This COVID-19 hit the world just like that. And boy, did it reveal what foundations, or the lack thereof. Because when your foundation is built upon the rock, do I hear anybody this morning? When your foundation is built upon a rock, it doesn't matter how strong the winds blow. It doesn't matter what COVID-19 comes into your community. When your foundation is built upon the rock, the winds can blow. The storms can come. The rivers can rage up against your house. But guess what? It will not shake. And it should not shake you. Do I hear anybody this morning? Amen. Oh, how we can see the people who are letting stress. What am I going to do about my job? What am I going to do about my family members? What am I going to do? I can't go to the grocery store. And when I do, all of these people are wearing masks. All these people are wearing gloves. All of these things that I'm seeing, there's no meat. There's no toilet paper. There's no Lysol. There's no Clorox. What do I do? Yeah. You stand firm on your foundation. I don't look to man. I don't look to the government. I don't look to people around me, because my foundation is not built on man. My foundation is not built on what people say that I can have. My foundation is not built on what the world says. My foundation is not built on what the CDC says. My foundation is not built on the WHO. My foundation is not built on anybody else but the Lord Jesus Christ. Because see, you can tell when stress comes and the winds blow, the pressure rises. That's what reveals who you are. That's what reveals your faith. Stress rears its ugly head when we try to serve our fears and God at the same time. Stress, I'm going to say it again. Stress rears its ugly head when we try to serve our fears and God at the same time. There are people, much like the example that Jesus was talking about, the one where they built their house upon the earth with no foundation. Sure, it may stand for a little while, but what happens when trouble comes and the waves beat upon the house? It says it will fall. It will crumble. And I'm asking you this morning, why are you allowing Satan to trap you in your troubles? Because trouble really does not, it's apparent to every person. But how you react to that trouble reveals your level of faith. We're human. We get fearful. We tend to look for the answers. We try to fix things. But really, when your house is built upon the rock, when the troubles come, no harm will come nigh your dwelling, because that was a promise that God made to us. If we would seek Him first, if we would trust Him fully, there is nothing that the enemy can do, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Everything that we put our hands to would prosper. But those same fears, the same levels of stress, Satan tries day after day. Even before we wake up, maybe we're still trying to get an hour's worth of rest. How are you going to make it tomorrow? You know, when you turn on the news, the numbers are going to double. The cases are going to triple. And they're going to triple in your area. They're going to triple in your state. And just as a reminder, I am going to put it in people's thoughts that every time they see a mask, every time they see gloves, when they go out into the grocery store, when you go out into these different places, it's going to remind you, I'm still here. It's going to remind you that fear is running rampant in this nation. It's going to be serve as a reminder. Where's your God? Why is God allowing all these things to happen? When in reality, when your house is built on a foundation of rock, you can say, this COVID-19 is nothing compared to my God.
Amen.
Because it may be running rampant, but my God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory. When I am weak, when I get a little depressed, when I feel cooped up like a caged animal because the news media has said, don't go outside. You better not hug anybody. You better not touch anybody. You better not do this. Do you know that I've read and I've heard that when you hug somebody, it adds years to their lives? Physical contact with people adds years to their lives, and we're worried about a virus taking us out. It's the very fact they want you to separate. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying, before anybody says anything, I'm not saying you shouldn't use your common sense or lack thereof. I'm saying you should be cautious. But you should not be driven by the fear that Satan is behind the scenes pulling puppet strings. You should not be fearful of what man can do unto you. Because after all, for God we live and for God we die. Either way, I heard somebody tell me this. Either way, I'm sealed. I'm secure. If my number's not up yet, guess what? I still have purpose. There's that word, purpose. And I said this Wednesday night, Mr. Hayes, I don't know if you even knew that I was listening. I was eavesdropping on a conversation. And I only heard the word purpose. And something attached itself to me. Purpose. If you have purpose, and each one of us in this room has purpose, you may not know your purpose. You may not know where your purpose is leading you. You may not know what destiny holds for you. But while we're trying to control the hand of God, God's saying, you can't control my hand. My will is going to be done. I can keep you in a thing without taking you out of a thing. Just ask the Hebrew boys. I didn't take them out of the fire. I walked alongside of them right in the middle of it. I extracted that heat. And when your house is built upon a rock, guess what? Right in the middle of COVID-19, you can walk with joy. You can walk with peace. You can walk when others are crumbling because their foundation is built upon the earth. You can stand. And guess what? They're going to see your house stand. They're going to see you and say, how come you have it all together? How come you're not fearful? How come you're not this or that? You know the news media said to stay in. The governor said this. The governor said that. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And we're not going to serve him with half our heart. We're not going to serve him on the things that we're not fearful of. We're not going to serve him with just a little bit of our soul and our spirit. Because even to this day, God has been way too good to us, more than we can ever deserve. The devil will constantly remind you and put fear in the forefront, day after day, trying to push you into that corner, trying to trap you. He's trying to shift your focus away from the truth of the Word of God. It reminds me of an old story when I was a kid. Little pig, let me in. Three pigs that were going to build a house. And the first one went and built the house out of straw. Sound familiar? The world is building their houses out of everything but God. And that big bad wolf coming by. Little pig, let me in. I'm going to huff and I'm going to puff and I'm going to blow your house down. While the little pig sat in the corner in a fetal position, trembling. And what happened? Satan blew his house down. Oh, I'm sorry. The wolf blew the pig's house down. And he goes to the next one. Because see, Satan jumps from person to person. I got that one. I don't have to worry. I don't have to spend my time with that one. Let me see who else I can ruin. Let me see who else I can pluck out of God's hands. Little pig, let me in. And that next pig who built his house out of sticks. Sounds like something Chandler would do because he loves sticks from the time he can walk. Built his house out of sticks. And here the wolf come in. Little pig, let me in. If not, I'm going to huff and puff and blow your house down. And he did. Until he come to the third one. And if I had to identify, I don't want to identify with any pigs. But if I had to identify with either one of these three, the one that made and built his house out of brick, built his house out of something stable, amen, out of something foundational, out of something that knew when the winds blow, when that wolf comes by, he's not going to be able to touch me. Amen. Do you see where I'm going with this? The little pig on the inside. Do you think he was in the corner trembling and shaking? Absolutely not. He knew what his foundation was made out of. He knew he was solid. He knew he was secure. But that didn't stop the wolf from coming by saying, little pig, let me in. If not, I'm going to huff and puff and blow your house down. I could probably imagine that pig saying, go ahead, give it your best shot. Make sure you inhale even deeper. Go the extra mile. I'm going to be waiting right here to see if you can actually blow my house down. Why are we not doing that? because Satan comes to us every single day. I'm coming after you. I'm going to huff, I'm going to puff, and I'm going to blow your house down. I'm going to destroy your family. I'm going to destroy your kids. I'm going to take away your sleep and your peace and your health and your joy. I'm going to do all these things, and I'm going to wreak havoc on your life if you don't let me in. And many of us, when Satan comes, hearing his voice makes us tremble. And that's where we become trapped. That's where we become isolated and pushed back into a corner to where we even forget the foundation, that God, that well that has been put in us. But we can learn from this third pig. Because there's been many a times that I felt like that Satan was blowing my house in. That my marriage was falling apart. That my children were following the wrong people. That my job was driving me crazy. That peace at night was so far-fetched. Until I got sick of being intimidated. Until I got sick of being aggravated. Until I had enough. And you, I'm telling you today, when are you going to have enough? You need to examine first, what is my foundation on? What is my house built upon? Is it built upon straw? Is it built upon sticks? Is it built upon the earth? Is it built upon something that can so easily be crumbled and wiped away by the littlest wind? Some of us are fine as long as the winds don't blow. Have you ever seen or known of someone who attended church regularly? They're the best Christian you've ever known until trouble came. And then it was like all hell broke loose. They're trapped away. They're crying all the time. They don't understand what's happened to them. Trouble reveals a person. Trouble reveals the stress that you, how you react to it. And trouble reveals the faith level that you have. We're all guilty of it. No matter what the case may be, the doctor may say, you got 6 months to live. It can be something as little as a school test. I don't know if I can pass it. The other night, my son, and I won't tell his testimony, my son was taking a statistics exam. Now, I loved math in school, but statistics was not one of them. It's the most boring kind of math you could ever put your head around if you could. And he had two chances to pass. He had taken it the first time, and he failed it. And I know what that's like, because I've had my share of exams that I've had to take multiple times over. And he came to us, and he said, I got one more shot. I do not want to have to take this test over again. See, what people around me don't realize is the best messages that I get come from people, from what I hear and from what I witness. And he didn't really know this. But I saw it as a mother, and I thought, he's stressed. This thing is gripping him because he knows. I know I've been there. I got one more shot. And I got to pass this test. I said, son, bring your laptop in here. We'll do whatever we can to help you. Until I started looking at his notes, and it was like reading another language. And I thought, I don't know how much help I can offer you. And it was a time test. 20 questions, 2 hours. I said, son, that means you got 6 minutes to answer each question. But before we started, we sat down and prayed. And Shane prayed and said, God, do what you got to do. Open up his mind, his understanding. And all this time, I was praying, God, Do it because He asked you to. Let this be a revealing moment to Him that without prayer, He needs you. He can't do anything without you. Let this be a revealing moment yet again that you are God and you hear Him. We're struggling through, trying to help. Guess after guess. And He said, okay, there was about 10, 15 minutes left. And He went to hit submit and He said, oh dear God. And in that moment, I thought, God, how often do we try our best to do everything? And before we hit that button, dear God, He clicked that button and He covered His eyes. And I'm looking on the screen and I'm like, I don't see anything. He made an 82 on that test that caused him to pass the course. There's so many different situations. Young and old alike. Stress does not worry about age. Stress does not regard race or gender. It attacks everybody that will allow it. But see, what Jesus was telling the disciples is, take what you know and apply it to your life. Take what you learn and put it into practice. You can hear the word all day long, but if you don't put action to it, it said faith without works is what? Dead. It also said that the word profited them nothing because they heard it, but it wasn't mixed with faith. You got to believe that He is. You got to believe that God is who He says He is. If God can help Blake with that statistics course, He can help anybody. It doesn't matter how small your problem is or how huge it is. Your level of faith is always revealed in trouble. But I'm reminded that Isaiah 35 and 4 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So why are we so forgetful and so quick to forget who God is? He just reminded us, I'm with you. I got this. Amen. All He wants us to do is acknowledge Him, just like Blake did. Blake said, God, you got to help me with this. Do you know that the presence of God is not just in the church house? The presence of God is not just when a baby is born. The presence of God is not just when you're praying and having a relationship with Him. The presence of God is not just when things are going good. But guess what? He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lo, I will be with you always. Meaning, when you were out cursing God, denying Him, rejecting Him, guess what? He was right there with you. When you were doubting, is there even a God? He was right there with you. When you were in your deepest, darkest day, guess what? He was right there with you. When you were in the bar, yes, in the club, amen, doing all these things, saying all these things, shooting up, getting drunk, when you were doing all these things, He was right there with you. Amen. And if He's right there with you in your deepest, darkest hour, don't you think He will be right there with you during this virus, amen, during a hurricane, during a tornado, amen, during any disaster? If He says He's going to be with you always, guess what? He's the only one that ever kept his word 100% of the time. Psalms 127, 1 and 2 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. For so he, you know what that means to me? When I read that, I thought, well, people can misconstrue that as I'm not supposed to get up early. So if it's before 10 o'clock, my Bible says not get up early. And I'm not supposed to be awake past 9 o'clock because my Bible says don't sit up late. I hate to break the news to you, but that's not what that means.
Say that again.
It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. Why are we getting up early to worry about something we can't control? Why are we staying up late worrying about stuff we cannot control? Why are we constantly eating the bread of sorrows? Because it says for his beloved, that's you and me. That's you, that's you, that's you, that's me. For his beloved, he gives sleep. And not only sleep, sweet sleep. That we can lay our head down at night without any worry. Because you know what? I'm a child of the Most High God. My house is built firmly upon a rock. And when Jesus reminded me, when the winds blow, and they will come every day, if not twice on Sunday, when the winds blow, I don't need to worry because I remember what my foundation is made on. I have been promised it's not going to shake me. It's not going to scare me. It's not going to rattle me. It's not going to trap me. But you got to know what your foundation is based off of. Without God, we fall. Without God, we fail. And without God, we lose. But with God, we rise. When everybody else is falling, God allows his elect to rise. When everything else is crumbling, we conquer. When everything else and everybody else is losing, we conquer and we win. You know why? What's our foundation based off of? The Lord Jesus Christ. God's presence will lead you through fire. God's presence will lead you through hell. Wasn't it David that said, I could make my bed in hell and he'd be there? Some of us in the last month or so felt like we were knocking on hell's door, standing in the doorway. I can't take one more time of cooking. I felt like I have cooked 565 times. I have no alone time. I have no interaction with other people outside my family. I need to go out among the living. Satan will take that, take your mind, and say, look at the life that you had before all this happened. And you wasted it. You went out and did frivolous things. You didn't spend time with your God like you thought. You didn't spend time praying. You didn't see the hand of God move. Remember all those promises that God said in that word that you so-called stand on? This is how Satan talks to us. You remember how God said he was going to do this, and look what's happening to you now. The pages are falling off the calendar. You're not getting any younger. Time is wasting away. You have no income coming in, but your bills keep coming in. Do you see? see how Satan rattles our cage? He's trying to back us into a corner when we are most vulnerable. And you can tell the suicide rate is through the roof. And we wonder, God, where are you? And I wonder, people, what is it going to take for you to wake up? What is it going to take for you to acknowledge you need God? You need God in your life. Without God, everything falls. There is no joy. There's no peace. There's no happiness. God has always been there with us. And our circumstances can and will try to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Meaning this whole scare of the COVID-19 thing, we're overlooking that there's other things that are constantly killing life. We take it for granted. And as this COVID-19 is some new thing that takes life away, it's not. There's things that's taking life away every single day. You may have come through some of the deepest, darkest days, and you wonder, God, where were you at? Why did I have to go through this? Why? What did I do to deserve this? And God said, if you only knew the strength that's going to come out of this. If you only saw what I saw. How there's going to be people that you're going to help. That you're going to minister to. Because if I allowed this to happen, I was going to sustain you through it. I was going to keep you right in the midst of that storm. Your house did not fall because I kept guard. We have so much to thank God for. And Shane was talking about an urgency. And even I just got away by myself yesterday. And it was really my alone time with God. I prayed about different things and I said, God, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what you're doing. But in the midst of all this trouble, you're preparing us for something greater. You've sustained us and you've watched over us. You've kept us for something we can't even see, our purpose. And I told Shane, I said, it was like a ton of bricks fell on me. And I heard God's voice so strong. Whatever you're going to do, do it now. And I began to pray. I said, God, I know the time is short. But you've put us in this ministry for a reason. And God, it starts with us. We have to fix things of ourselves. Make us better leaders. Give us the right words to say. Put people in our path, God, that need to hear you, that need to know you are real and what you offer is real. There's not a person in this room that can't say that God has not protected them in some way or another. That God was there. You're still alive. That lets me know He's protected you up to this point. He's been with you. And I would always pray, and I said, God, I know that to be an effective leader, you have to keep me humble. You have to keep me humble. You have to keep Shane humble. Because pride comes before a fall. When we think we got it all together, when we think we know everything, when we think that we have all the answers, when we think that we're up here and people are down here, that's when God pulls the rug out from our feet and says, I'm going to show you what you know and what you don't know. God is so good. And I believe there are people here allowed stress and anxiety, fear, worry, all of the above to become a part of you. And little by little, it is mounted up. And you feel like, this is who I am. I am my own story. My story is my past. And God's saying, no, your story is your future. Because you don't see what I see. I do everything for a reason. I work everything out for the good of those that love me and are called according to my purpose. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed,